Oh my, this is the next page. It says, it's blank, sermon for Maggie. So anyway, I will tell you I had an interesting time at St. Luke's. I must have dropped my cane outside in the parking lot because when I got here, I thought, where's my cane? And so I think that is where I left it. And so I hope somebody comes and retrieves it and calls me and says, we found your cane. That would be nice. When I was thinking about this, I thought, you know, we have two celebrations in May. One is Mother's Day, and two is Memorial Day. Now, they used to call it Declaration Day. Now, if you ask somebody about Declaration Day, they look at you like, what? Say, Declaration Day is what they used to call it, is now Memorial Day, but it is one and the same. So I thought, well, we have two celebrations in May, and here we are in June, and I think we have two celebrations in the month of June. The first one is Flag Day, which is June 14th. And by the way, my grandson was born on June 14th. So anyway, I thought, well, let me just divide this up just a little teeny bit and just talk about Flag Day. And so what does the flag represent? It represents our country. And when we say the Pledge of Allegiance, it is that we are making a commitment. It is simply a promise to be good citizens to when we do the American, the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States. It is that we will be good citizens of the United States. Being a good citizen is also a Christian duty. In Titus 3:1, we read, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, and to be ready to do whatever is good, not to slander anyone, to be peaceable, and to be considerate, and to show true humility toward all humanity. Now, my prayer is that we, our country, would listen to Titus 3:1 and have humility toward all humanity. Now, along with pledging our flag of the United States, probably 70 years ago, when I used to go to VBS to whatever was available in my area, and that was to the Baptist Church, to the Lutheran Church, to the Methodist Church, to the Presbyterian Church, wherever I could go, I think wherever my mother would send me, we had, at the beginning, opening exercises, we always had the pledge to the American flag and the pledge to the Christian flag, which we have in that corner, and pledge to the Bible. But this is what I learned when I was so young, was the pledge to the Christian flag. Now, it has been revised only slightly, the last verse, and I will read it. But as I remember it and as I will continue to repeat it, it is, I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe. Now, the change has been, I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands, one brotherhood uniting all Christians in service and love. So however you repeat it, the young folks nowadays probably repeat the second one, but I, after 70 years, will continue to recite it as I learned it when I was a young girl. So As we talk about our responsibility to the flag and to the God that we love and adore and give homage and reverence to, remember that if we stand and we pledge, it's because we promise to do what we are supposed to do. Now that I put that little little blurb in there about Flag Day, I'm going to the second celebration of the month of June, and that's Father's Day. Now, you know, I had a whole lot of things written down, and I was just about done, and some things just weren't quite right. And I thought, I need to look at this a little closer. But we're not here to judge whether these men of old were good or not so good, but that God loved them and continues to love them, or that they had a relationship with God. Now, I thought about the beginning with Adam, and we know that Adam had some problems with his two eldest sons, and that Cain killed Abel, and that he was then marked for the rest of his life as he wandered the earth. But at 120 years old, and gosh, everybody seemed to be so old having all these children, but at 120 years old, he had Seth, his third son. But I thought, okay, these men of old, they had a lot of faith and just followed along what God told them. And then we see Noah, and Noah was the father of three sons, and he listened to what God told him, and his three sons and their three wives went in the ark and with his wife, and they were saved. And this is part of the covenant with God. And then we have a man named Abram. And he had a relationship with God, and he listened to what God told him. And it's written in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, and I will read. And the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, and my goodness, how upsetting that might be to us if somebody said, you need to leave Romney. You go, but why? But anyway, he was listening to God, and God told him to leave his country, leave your people and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation. And I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I'll bless those that bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. Boy, it's kind of an awesome thing for God to say to this man who was like, how's this going to happen? I don't have any family. I don't have any kids. But God's promises are always, always kept. So, and we know that he had a one child through Hagar, which was Ishmael, but that was not the promised child. And the part that Jonathan read to us this morning about the strangers coming and saying, this time next year, you're going to have a baby. And that son is going to be given to Sarah. And of course, Sarah laughed. And I thought, oh my gosh, what if somebody said that to me? I would not be laughing. I'd probably be screaming and running around like a crazy person. But in any case, God's promises, I'm telling you, are always fulfilled. No matter whether we understand it or we believe it, it doesn't matter. It happened. And Isaac was born, the promised child, to Abraham and Sarah. Now, the Bible tells us basically that the covenant between Abraham was then given to Isaac and then to Jacob. And those three are really the only three that are really named together. But there are other men that were probably good fathers and maybe not so good fathers. Moses, David. I know David had a lot of problems with his kids, but it doesn't matter. If you give them to the Lord will take care of it. And Solomon, the same. Solomon started out praying for wisdom and God gave it to him, but then he got sidetracked onto another path and he didn't follow the way that his father had followed. Now those are men from the Old Testament. Also from the Old Testament, we have Psalms 68:5 that says, God is the father to the fatherless and a defender to widows, for God is in his holy dwelling. And we know that sometimes this happens that, especially in the past, that many women lost their lives in raising a baby, having a baby, and that the father of that child had to become not only was already the father, but a mother. And in today's time, we have so many men serving in the military that do not come home, and that wife and the mother becomes, she's already the mother, but becomes also the father. So however God leads you and what your position is, follow what he says because his promises are true and right. I thought of other people that in the past and that may have been good examples of being a father. Abraham Lincoln, we know that he used to go in the back of St. John's Church in D.C. and sit and meditate. He was a melancholy type of individual that had that as his character, but he lost his one son very early on, and I think that probably affected him, but he was a good father and he cared about his children greatly. Dr. Martin Luther King from the past, his wife ended up being mother and father to their children. And then I thought about stepfathers. Some stepfathers are willing to step in and take good care of that family. One notable one was George Washington, who was the father, you know, of our country. He married Martha Custis and she had children, but he was a good stepfather to those children. I also thought of others. And perhaps some from our time, Billy Graham, who had, I think, five or six children, anyway, and President Jimmy Carter. These men were godly. These men trusted God and put their faith in God to do what he wanted them to do. Now, because we are so blessed because of Jesus shedding of his blood and giving us life eternal, we don't have to think about having anything but direct access to God. We can talk to God whenever we need to, whenever we want to, and he's there listening and he's there responding. I had a little thing here I wanted to read to you. Imagine that you called Heaven's prayer hotline and you were put on hold. Oh, sorry, God is just swamped today. But he'll be back with you very soon. You're currently number 87,000,000. 621. You know that your prayer requests are so very, very important to God. Though, don't hang up, just please hold. Now, suppose we got that message. And that would be pretty, pretty awful. I won't tell you, that would be pretty, pretty awful. But because of our great Savior, we have direct access to God, and we can talk to Him anytime, any place, and He is listening. I want to read you just a few of God's promises, not all, but just a few that I've jotted down here. Here's us. It's impossible. Here's God's response. All things are possible with me. Again, us. I'm too tired. God's response. I will give you rest. Here we are. Nobody really loves me. God's response. I love you always. Us. We can't do anything more. God's response is, my grace is sufficient for all of you. Here's something we say, I can't get over things and forgive myself. God says, I forgive you. We say, I'm afraid. And God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear. Here we are. I'm just so worried and frustrated. God's response is, cast all your burdens, cast all your anxieties, cast all your worries on me because I'm listening. We say, I'm not smart enough. And God says, I give you wisdom. We say, we feel all alone. And God says, I will never, never leave you nor forsake you. We have access to God, who is our advocate, our comforter, our counselor, our Savior, Lord and Master, and our gracious, loving Heavenly Father. As we celebrate Father's Day, let us remember that our Heavenly Father is listening to us, overseeing us, protecting us, keeping us safe at all times, and to know that He loves us more than we can even understand. And now from Revelation 1, 5 and 6, to Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve His God and Father, to Him be glory, power, forever and ever. Amen. Happy Father's Day, everyone.